All right. First of all, thank you for being here today. Thank you to the media for sure, but also the administration and staff in the back. Appreciate y'all being here. We're obviously really looking forward to sharing our 2023 journey with all of you. We look forward to this time of year. It's the 4.5 months that we actually work all year long for. So obviously you have some excited young ladies downstairs that are anxious to talk to all of you. We checked in last Sunday and we had a couple days where we were just doing meetings and off-court training. And then we finally, as our coaches would say, got to be on the court with our team. We don't get to be on the court with our team during the summer. So on Tuesday, we got to be on the court with our team and it has been a grind ever since. I'm so proud of our kids. Basically, it feels like 24/7 during this time. A lot of volleyball, a lot of other activities that we feel help develop our team. So it definitely feels like 24/7. But we have loved the energy, the effort, the enthusiasm that our team has had, the buy-in that they've had, the actual genuine care for each other, as well as the expectations that they have for each other and this year's team. So it's been a lot of hard work and a lot of fun so far. I am going to just make some comments about our schedule and then open it up for questions. And I'll talk a little bit about why in a second. But we had our purple and gold scrimmage last Sunday, and that was just right after only 4 days of practice. And I think we were pleasantly surprised with our abilities in the purple and gold scrimmage. Obviously, it's a great opportunity. It's different than practice, but it's not quite the same as playing another team. But you put on that jersey, you get all the feels of that. We had a great crowd here to play in front of, so it was great to see some of the people we haven't seen in a long time. So there's a lot of things that happen that don't happen in practice that our players get to work through. And as coaches, we also get to see and evaluate. So that was great. And then, as Joel said, we have an exhibition game against Minnesota that we're really looking forward to because that's just another level of the purple and gold scrimmage. Yes, it does not count against our record, but it's an opportunity to go up against another opponent, get a chance to maybe try some different things that we might not want to do if we were actually in season, but we can try. And also I'll learn a little bit about what our strengths are starting to be. We obviously play the following weekend, so maybe a little bit more of what we can focus on for those few practices that we have left before we actually start the season. Start the season at Western Michigan. We also will play Villanova, who is our first match, and we also will play Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And then we head to Creighton again this year. We were there last year, but to Creighton for what will be a super competitive tournament. No, it is not the rotating tournament that we've had for 8 years. That is done. But we will be starting another rotating tournament in 2024 that will include Creighton and Rice and Louisville. So that'll be a lot of fun. But this tournament at Creighton is also competitive. We will face SEC powerhouse LSU, and then Mid-American Conference Ball State. They're always at the top of the Mid-American Conference. The tournament will be over 3 days. We have several tournaments that will be over 3 days. I'm not going to explain why that's happening unless somebody has that question later or wants to talk about it individually, but there's been some rule changes with scheduling, and I think we'll all be kind of feeling out what that looks like and how we'll proceed moving forward. But it'll be very different going to tournaments and being there to play for 3 days as opposed to two. Definitely pros and cons to that in our mind, so we'll see how it all works out. And then the third weekend, we head over to down to Texas A&M for another very high caliber tournament with Texas A&M, TCU, and Utah State. So a great tournament there. And then finally, as Joel said, we'll be at home. First match is September 14th. We play North Dakota, and we also will have Dayton in Northern Illinois. So a lot of great matches in the preseason that we look at as opportunities to learn about ourselves, opportunities to grow, putting ourselves in a lot of different positions, playing different types of teams, different conferences. So we're learning, we're growing, and we're preparing for what we know is going to be just a crazy, rigorous conference schedule. When I was going through and trying to do the preseason poll, just realizing how many teams return almost everyone or have transfers coming in, this conference is going to be a battle, and it'll be a lot of fun. As I talked about last year, it's a little bit different. First year last year where we added Belmont and Murray State, so we do have an unbalanced schedule, which is challenging and different. So we play 18 matches, and so we'll play some teams both home and away and some teams only home or only away. And when you're only taking eight teams to the conference tournament, that becomes very tricky, very challenging. You don't know who you're playing. You might be playing the top of the conference all the time, the bottom, you don't know. So the records are the only thing that matter when it comes to taking those top eight teams. So again, looking forward to that challenge. And the conference tournament this year is at Missouri State. Unfortunately, no, we always go for it, obviously. And then as far as just a general comment about the makeup of our team, obviously we graduated, as you all know, five seniors that all had a huge impact during their time here. Several of them were here for 5 years. All of our seniors we miss each year, but we're super excited about the makeup of our roster this year. We do have 20 student athletes, which is a high number for us, and there's lots of different reasons why it's like that this year. It's probably the most that we've had in history, probably, but there's reasons for that. But what I love about our team is that it's super competitive in different positions. I think when you look at the different players, there's each player in our front court has the ability to play more than one position in the front row. And this doesn't always happen. We have a couple that could play three different positions in the front row. Same with our backcourt. They're not just honed in on one specific position in the backcourt. We feel our DS liberos can play any position in the backcourt. So that allows for a lot of flexibility, maybe some matchup things during the season that we can work on. If somebody is really struggling, we can bring somebody in and not miss a beat. It does, I will be honest, provide some challenges for the coaches as to what that lineup is going to be and what's going to be the best offense and defense of our team based on the people that we have. But those are the kind of challenges we love. So I do want to, before I open it up for questions, I want to give a huge shout out to our staff. I just talked about the grind and what it is during this time of year. But for our staff, first of all, just Kim and Jason, our assistant coaches, Michelle, our program's ops, our athletic trainer, Alex, and our student athletic trainer, Maddie, who's also on the softball team, Rachel and strength and conditioning, our managers, Megan and Jordan. It is a grind, and we are with our team a lot, but the hours that we're not with their team, guess what? There's planning, organizing, meeting that has to go on. So basically, you look at those people back there, and it's a 24/7 thing. And I'm so proud to be a part of this staff. They're great. They're definitely doing this with a smile on their face. Maybe when we're in the office, we're not always smiling, but we present ourselves well when we're with our team, and that's what we ask them to do as well. So very thankful for the staff that we have. I am going to open up for questions. Obviously, I didn't talk about any specific players, partly because we do have 20 on our roster, and I would just like to talk about the things that you want to hear about. So I will open it up for questions.
Bobby, you mentioned the flexibility with this team. Have you ever had a team that's had this much options that you can play the different positions on?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we've had maybe two or three players each year that we feel really good about playing different positions. When we bring our student athletes in, we usually talk about when we bring in a pin, we will explain to them, you will be training both left and right pin. Middles, we tell them, or they're going to be training both middle and right. And there are some people over the years that we've brought in and saying, you could play any position for us. But to have as many people that can do that, I don't think we've had that. Part of that could be because we have so many people. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think, you know, once we get some things figured out, there's a lot of things that we can do differently for offense, different things we can do for blocking, scheming. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Was that a focus when you recruited these athletes?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is one of the things we do is try to just recruit really good athletes, obviously student athletes. But, you know, we're not always going to get the blue chippers, but we feel like if we can get a good athlete, we can help them become a really great volleyball player. So some of it we don't know. You know, the game of volleyball is very different in college. So the things we ask a middle to do might be very different than what they have done in club and in high school. So some of those things we might have ideas of what we're predicting those people will do, but it doesn't always work out. And sometimes both ways. Sometimes they have to be a position we don't really need. Sometimes they can be multiple positions like I've talked about.
Bobby, Joel mentioned the turnaround from two seasons ago to last season. You know, having had the offseason to reflect on that because it was such a big turnaround, what would you point toward that led to all that success?
Yeah, a lot of things for sure. I think one of the biggest things that doesn't get talked about a lot, I think, is what happened in those seasons before that were, you know, arguably the poorest in terms of record that a UNI volleyball team has ever had. I always said that you would never walk in a practice gym of ours during those times and be able to say, oh my gosh, they're having just a rough year. You know, we still practiced hard. We still competed hard. We just couldn't get over the hump of just winning the games. And, you know, obviously athletics is, you know, you're this far away from a win or a loss sometimes, and there's a lot of things that you can't control. But I think that piece, you know, making them hungrier as opposed to defeated, and then really having intentional effort into going into, you know, our Croatia trip helped a lot. There's a lot of time for us to build relationships, build trust, build accountability. I think that's always a hard thing with girls to build that accountability. So a lot of that was going on, and then just playing, getting better at the game as well. Obviously, you had a lot of people that have been there through COVID and all the ups and downs of that and different things. So a lot of pieces in that. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to that senior class to begin with, because, you know, they were on a mission, but everyone else has to buy in. You can't just have five seniors that are on a mission. You have to have people that buy in. And it was genuinely a team that all 18 people accepted their role, worked hard for a different role, but each day accepted their role and really felt like what they were doing made a difference. And I look at that as the biggest difference maker.
You talk about graduating five seniors, you brought in three transfers. What do those three, I mean, when you bring in a transfer, you probably want them to make an impact. What do those girls bring to the table for you?
Yeah, definitely depth for sure. But when you look at Erin, you know, coming from UAB, I think one of the things that we graduated a lot of backcourt passing touches. So if you look at it, Kira is really the only one that had a significant amount of playing time as far as a passer. And anybody that knows volleyball, that's one of the biggest parts, if not the biggest part of the game, in order to be able to run an offense. So we were really looking for someone that had experience in that area. So we brought in Erin, and she's just done a great job. She's fit in really well with the team. She's worked really hard to build trust and relationships, which, you know, you can't just pop in and go be a passer on the court, because it's a passing system. Then you have to work well with people. She knows that, and so she's worked really hard to build those relationships. Kara, obviously a standout at her old school, as a middle, that's a position that partly we graduated two really good middles, and so we wanted to get a younger middle that can be developed and work through time, because that's a position that we've graduated a lot. That's a position we didn't have a lot of, and she came in the spring as well, so that all our transfers came in the spring, which is really helpful. And then Kalia is one of those pins that can play right or left, so looking for her also. She's probably one of our truest right side players. Lots of times you have middles that just play right for us or lefts that just play right for us, but she's probably our truest right side player, so has a lot of experience on the right side as well.
Piggybacking on what Cole asked, you talked about that hunger going into last season. With the turnaround, you can see why it was there. How do you keep this year's team hungry to maintain the standard you set for yourself?
Yeah, I think all of the things that we learned throughout that process helps keep you hungry. I think we always talk about the tradition that we have here and just, you know, wanting to contribute to that tradition. And I think, you know, all of our teams have that desire to do that. But I think our players really understood what the difference makers were, and they know it doesn't just happen. It takes intentional effort. It takes hard work. It takes a willingness to have that excitement and that energy. And we also talk about, you know, newness of things wears off. You know, you got to find a way. Sure, first few days of preseason are exciting because this is a new year, but after day three, it's not very exciting anymore, and it's a grind. And so trying to find ways to work through that, and that's what I said, this team has done a really good job of that. Like, we literally have not had a lot of time off, and we do things at night, so we occupy a lot of their time. So it's definitely there, and I think, again, part of that is the example that they've been a part of and helped make and are now trying to carry on to the next people.
After the 21 season, it'd be easy, you know, looking on paper and saying, okay, you've got to get better at this or that. But after last year, is it easy for your staff and your players to look within and go, man, we were a little better at this, a little better at that? And how does that work out this season?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we, even as a coaching staff and as a team, we talk a lot about every team is so different, and so when you graduate and then you add people, your strengths and weaknesses become very different, or strengths and things you need to work on more become very different. So I think you can evaluate last year's team, and if we wanted to get a little further, we can evaluate what could have made that happen. But I think when you come into this year with this new team, it's now a complete reevaluation. Obviously, there's things that we know person by person what they can possibly bring just based on the past and our spring and the development that we've made. But until you get everybody together and see how we work together, you know, I always talk about our passing. You know, if you're a really good individual passer, but you can't work well with the two next to you, it really does no good. Because if you're really good, nobody's going to serve you anyway. So you have to be able to work good within the team. So part of those things are things we're going to try to continue to figure out through all the way through preseason tournaments and probably all through the season. Because we don't want to be our best until the end. But does that make sense? So it's just kind of a reevaluation of what that is for this year.
Do you expect then some growing pains in maybe the early portion of it?
We always expect growing pains, partly because, you know, we don't put a schedule out there that's easy, for sure. And I think, you know, part of doing that is to put ourselves in situations and see how we come out. It's not like we're putting out, we expect to win every match. It's not like we're, oh, let's just play this team because they're really good and we'll just see what we get out of it. You know, we're going out there to compete. We're going out there to win. But because of the caliber of teams we're playing, there's probably going to be some bumps along the way. But I think that's all a part of the growth. And part of it is us helping them work through that, because, you know, if you're losing a lot of those games, it can be difficult. And some games, you know, we've had games over the years that, you know, we didn't just lose. We got, you know, our butts kicked, and you got to learn from that, and you got to be able to grow from that. Same thing if you have a big win, you know, what are we getting from that? Not just, you know, the excitement of a big win, but there's things along the way that we needed to learn from that win as well.
You talked about the senior class and the drive and how they wanted to finish it. You know, so they were your internal leaders. They were the ones outside the court, on the court. But you had players like Holter House and Turnagel and Fowler who led you in different individual matches. How were they handling now having to be the leaders in addition to just being maybe, you know, somebody that their job was to go be the best pin or the best backer? How are they handling now being kind of the leader in each position?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, you know, I think that, too, is something that there's growing pains along the way for that, because anytime you have a big class that kind of takes control of a lot of that, it's easy to kind of sit back. You know, it always seems to be, okay, the older people, they're the leaders, they're the ones that we look to. But really, it's the characteristics and personalities of different people that can be your leaders in a lot of different ways. And so we need to work harder at making sure the younger people are finding ways to lead as well. So it's not like these five graduate and now all of a sudden, okay, how do I lead this team? I have no idea. I haven't done anything before. But I think this group has done a really good job. We have six that technically could be seniors. We have a few in there that could have a COVID year or a redshirt year. So they have really taken it upon themselves to figure out their strengths as individuals and how that's going to work as a whole leadership group, while also finding other people on the team that maybe bring something that they don't have as a group of six. And I think that's, you know, again, some intentional effort put into that. I think in the spring, you know, if I'll be honest, I think our coaching staff, we were a little bit worried about the leadership side of things. But I think our team has really grown in that. I think the biggest leadership thing that I think is hard is the accountability piece. You know, nobody wants to be that person that's telling you, hey, you're not doing it good enough. That's not how we do it here. It's no fun to be that person, but somebody has to be that person. But when you back that person, it becomes a lot easier. And I think we're getting so much better at that. And there is an expectation. And if we're not meeting it, there's people that are willing to step up and say that rather than coaches. You know, obviously we can do that a lot better if your team does that.
Taylor's obviously coming off a great season, put up some big numbers, evidenced by getting the postseason honors. I think maybe she falls into that category of versatility that you were talking about earlier.
For sure.
So given the fact, you know, she's a junior now, imagine you know her game well. So what can you say in terms of, you know, what you're asking of her and how she figures into that kind of puzzle you talked about on how best to utilize her in different ways?
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure you're talking about because she has ability to hit in the front row as well. And obviously a very offensive setter. But, you know, Taylor is just one of those players. She's just the other thing that she brings to our team besides just her, you know, abilities as a setter is she is just that you watch her. She's that calming presence. She doesn't ever get rattled. She might be on the inside, but you would never know that. And I think that's a really good thing for our players to be able to see. So leadership-wise is an area that we are continue to expect more from her. But again, within her leadership style, just advancing her game. I think she's done a really good job in the spring. We've worked really hard to put in a little bit of a different offense to our pins, a little bit faster. It's a little more challenging, but it's something that we're wanting to do and we're planning to do for this season. So her ability to buy into that and do that day in and day out and being a good example of that has been huge. But again, it's her and then bringing Sydney along as well, because I think Sydney has a lot to bring to our team. But we're expecting Taylor to run that offense in the way that she has, but also to a different level. You know, Jason works really well with our setters, developing their volleyball IQ, not just just playing volleyball, but the offense and how to run an offense, what's on the other side of the net. And Taylor just continues to grow in that. She'll one of her goals is to watch a lot more video, not just on herself, but the teams we're competing against. So just look for her to be a whole nother level in terms of that part of the game.
What are some of the things that you hope to learn or maybe have already learned with, you know, switching from counting dates to counting matches for your non-conference schedule, in terms of not just what you want to do for your own team, but maybe, you know, whether or not it was finding teams for your own tournament, finding other tournaments to go to, and where everybody's priorities are at in terms of whether they still want to have those two match days or if they want to move to these three-day tournaments?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge right now, to be honest. And since it's the first year, you know, that'll be a question I can answer a little bit more after the season and next year. But yeah, I'm not really, I get the only playing one match in one day, obviously, especially some of the matches have gotten to be too close together, maybe only having an hour and a half break. But I do think going somewhere and being there for 3 days and playing over 3 days, so you're there for more than 3 days, is going to be a whole different kind of challenge for student athletes. It's gone a lot more. There's a lot of sit around time when you're doing that. So, and we're just not used to that. So it'll be interesting. I do think the Power Five schools will probably, you know, stick with the one match per day. We have a couple tournaments that we're actually, some of the teams are playing over three and some of them are playing over two within the same tournament, which is also very strange and, you know, a lot of disadvantages and advantages there. So this will be definitely a year of trying to figure that out, and how it moves forward, we'll have to see.
You have seven either true or redshirt freshmen. Where do they figure in the picture? Are any of them going to maybe potentially make an impact this year?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I already talked about the three transfers. The four freshmen have just come in and fit right in. You know, all of them were here for a lot of the summer, so I think that helps working with our strength and conditioning, and then just scrimmaging and things, running drills with our players. So coming into preseason, you know, they just didn't really miss a beat in terms of that part. And it's going to be interesting. They all have some great abilities, and it's, again, just trying to figure out how they can adapt. That's one thing about the sport of volleyball. You come in and we play within a couple weeks, and it's really hard to adapt to the college game, because obviously you can adapt to your practices, but then getting into competing against other teams. But all of them, you know, I look, Lily and Cassidy are pins for us, and they both have some big strengths. You know, Lily probably has one of the heaviest arms on the team. She's a real, really big physical block, so she has a lot she can bring. Cassidy, I've been so impressed with her ball control and passing, which, you know, again, coming to college, that kind of stuff can be very different than high school. Obviously, she was a great passer and defender in high school. That's one of the reasons we wanted her, but for her to adapt and understand her platform as well as she does right now, is actually a little bit surprising. She's done a really good job. And then Caitlin, the middle, the one who smiles, you never know what's up with her, but she will always be smiling. She'll be like, I'm so mad and still smiling. But she, usually that's the position you come in and you're just like, I shouldn't be here. You know, you're running circles, you're in the middle, you're trying to block everything. And she does not look that way at all. You know, as far as middles coming in, I think she's one of the best freshman middles we've ever had, in terms of not just being completely overwhelmed And that's both attacking and blocking. She's done a really good job. So, and then Taryn, she's had some physical challenges, health problems that she had to overcome. And so we weren't expecting her to even be where she's at right now, but she's right in there doing a great job as well. So, you know, with the 20 people we have, they could have an impact, you know, on the court, but they're for sure going to impact our team. I definitely know that.
You mentioned a couple newcomers figuring in, potentially figuring in to your middle, but, you know, with the graduations of Carly and Inga, what does that position look like right now? What can you tell us?
Yeah, we do have, several people that we're looking at both middle and right. And, you know, Olivia, you know, obviously one of our best players on the team. She makes it hard for us because she's so good at middle and she's so good at right. And, you know, I think one of the things is probably going to be what everybody else can do, how we utilize her. And I can see us utilizing her in both positions. So she is definitely one of the forerunners in that position, but also could help us on the right. Liana Green, she's been with us a couple years now. She's a multi-sport kid that also does track, high jump. The fastest middle we have, I have no doubts that she can score for us. She's a little bit smaller block, but has great instincts, so always finds a way to get a touch on the block. She's not going to get a lot of stuff blocks, but finds a way to get touches. She's going to be battling for that position. Chloe Largent, she was kind of that person that played left and right to begin with, and now we've moved her to middle right. And now that she's focusing on those positions, she's really excelling as well. Kara, I've already talked about, will battle for that position. Caitlin could as well. And then you have Kaylissa, who is probably more of a right side, but could help us in the middle if we needed. So I would, you know, and they can speak for me. I don't know if we could put a lineup that we are like, yeah, this is it yet. So, which is a lot of fun. It's a lot of challenges, but it's a lot of fun as well.
What are you looking for in the preseason in the serving department, having graduated so many of your really good servers from last year?
Well, Kim can attest, you know, I've actually spent the time I say in practice on serving this year, because usually that's the thing that, okay, we don't have time for serving. But, I love what we're doing serving-wise. I do think that we have the ability to be really good behind the service line. It's just getting a little bit more consistent with that. So we have some people that can rip the ball through the zone, but it's being able to be more consistent with that. And I think we have a couple people that, you know, have a good flow. We have a couple people that have hybrid serve, so you're not going to see the same serve every time. I'm still going to try to get somebody to do the Carly Spees serve when we get into the McLeod Center, but we haven't had a chance to do that much in here yet. So, but I look for that to be a strength for our team for sure.
When you talk about back row and passing, where's Olivia Bronner fit in? What does she have to do to find the court this year, where, you know, she's a true freshman last year and you had experience there now? Where's she?
Yeah, Olivia, so Meredith and Olivia came in at the same time, both freshmen, and we talked about that the other day. We feel like our practices as far as passing and defense have probably in preseason upped from last year, and I think a big part of that is because of those two and the difference how different they are from last year to this year. Both have spent a lot of time this summer working individually on things, you know, not just the team practices, but they've got some extra work in. So that's another position that, like, I think is going to be really tough, because you have four or five people in that position that all do really good things. And so maybe part of it will be, you know, who's going to excel in the different parts on the court that we need. You know, for middle back, we might need somebody, or right back, we might need somebody different and who can play better in those positions. But Olivia has done a great job, huge improvements from last year. Definitely somebody that's battling to get on the court.
When you think about last year's national tournament, where they started seeding more teams, they had that studio show that they were whipping around matches, and now this year with the championship match moving from cable to network TV with ABC, where do you see volleyball's game in terms of the growth and the exposure that the sport is getting right now?
Yeah, it just continues to grow. And the crazy thing is, I was on the very first TV committee, and the things that we were just trying to get volleyball on TV, the smallest amount, and to see where it's come today. Still a lot of work to do, for sure, but it's so much fun. Where's the Nebraska match, and how many people? Jason, help me out.
90,000
in the
Coliseum.
Memorial Stadium. Yeah. I mean, 90,000 people in Memorial Stadium, a volleyball match. I still don't know how that's going to work, but How cool is that? It's going to be very interesting. But yeah, I mean, the growth has been amazing. And, you know, we talk about it a lot. There's still a long ways to go. But it's a lot of fun that match is going to be on regular TV, and excited about that.
Do you like having to play the unbalanced schedule for the Valley? Do you like that format?
You know, I would rather have the unbalanced schedule than playing everyone with the number of teams that we have. So I guess that's the best way to answer that. I think when we went through a lot of, in our conference meetings, a lot of different possibilities and ways that you could handle having 12 teams. Obviously, a double round robin would take up, that was one of the options, but obviously you're going to take away from your preseason tournaments, which we feel are way more important than, and so the unbalanced schedule is probably the next best thing. You know, we talked about having, I don't know if it was East and West or North and South divisions, but when you look at that, I think the unbalanced schedule is definitely the best way to do it.
What can you tell me about the health of Dani Johnson? I know she had an injury in the preseason last year and didn't see the court at all.
Yeah, Dani is still battling injuries, but, you know, she's kind of right now a day-by-day person, but she's been in a lot more this preseason than she was last preseason, so that's exciting for her. But, yeah, she's kind of had some rough luck since she's been here, but, you know, we're working really hard to get her as healthy as we can and allowing her to have as many practice options as she can, because, you know, she's going to be that person that no matter what, she wants to be in, and some days it's probably better for her not to be, to just rest a little bit, especially during this grindy time. But she's working hard, and our athletic training staff is working hard to get her back and get her healthy. All right. Thank you very much.